All right, welcome to August 22nd on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and one of the reasons why I do this show is because of the military. If you are or have ever served, thank you for your service. I assembled this podcast out of San Diego, California, right here in a small tool shed in my backyard. If you're looking to move to the area, or if you have any questions about real estate or refinancing, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com and then give her a call, 619-507-4906. And let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up and face the flags if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very nice. And now on to today's headlines. A small town in Minnesota re-elects K-9 Duke for its mayor. We'll wish a happy anniversary to President Ulysses and First Lady Julia Grant. Rademacher becomes the only heavyweight boxer to challenge the champ in his debut bout. And Chuck Helmke wins the record for the most tattooed senior. All right, so now let's do this. 2017, K-9 Duke is elected mayor of Cormorant. Ruff. This small town of Minnesota, population a little over 1,000, elected Duke, the Great Pyrenees mayor in 2014, when he won an election at the state fair, where votes were $1 each. Duke won this in a landslide. The only other vote casted was for his girlfriend Lassie. Duke's role as a politician is to appear in parades and act as an ambassador. Wouldn't it be great if we could just send pups to hostile foreign nations as ambassadors? Cute, right? But, of course, in places like North Korea, they'd be eaten. But the concept's there. I mean, how can anyone resist those wagging tails and those licks on the face? His deputy mayor, Steven Sorensen, told the Huffington Post that Duke just kinda hangs around at the local pubs, makes sure that everything's running okay, keeps the riffraff out, just oversees the whole works. Which is kinda what I do when I go to pubs, but I don't see anybody electing me mayor. Maybe because I don't have a wagging tail? I don't know. But Duke finally retired from politics in 2017, and tragically, crossed the Rainbow Bridge that same year. Woof! 1848. Happy anniversary, Ulysses and Julia Grant. Julia Boggs Dent was born January 26, 1826, near St. Louis to a slave-owning family. Her brother Fred was friends with Ulysses at West Point, and when he introduced the two, it was love at first sight. Speaking of sight, Julia's was a little off in one eye. These days, it's called strabismus, or lazy eye. She was very plain-looking, but her personality was not. She was easygoing, charming, and made friends everywhere she went. But army lieutenants don't make a lot of cash. Sam and Julia were young, and therefore held off on the marriage for 4 years. During that time, he wrote to her often, but she rarely responded. And when he went to serve during the Mexican War, communication dwindled even further. Finally, on this day in 1848, they tied the knot to the objection of Papa Jesse Grant, who disapproved of the Dent family owning slaves. Several years later, when he became captain, Sam Grant was sent to the California-Oregon territories during the Gold Rush. He couldn't bring Julia, now pregnant with their second child, and their little toddler, so he went alone and missed Julia every single day. As a result, Sam retired from the military and moved in with his family to her stomping grounds near St. Louis. There, times were tough. Ulysses had trouble finding work, and Julia stuck by him. Sam would finally settle for a job working for his little brother at their dad's leather shop. Throughout their marriage, Sam and Julia had 4 children. Frederick, who grew up to be a soldier and politician, Ulysses Jr., who became a lawyer, Ellen, or Nellie, who would grow up to get married in the White House, and Jesse, who would become an engineer. After dealing with being a boring old clerk at a tanner, Fort Sumner was lost to the rebels, and the Civil War was on. Ulysses was reinstated, was promoted to Brigadier General, and then to Major General. Julia followed General Grant throughout his battles from Memphis to Vicksburg, from Nashville to Virginia, covering over 10,000 miles, and probably couldn't have done so without the aid of her slave named Julie. Okay, so Julia had a slave, but Julia was probably more of a family member at that point, which was not in common with slaves. When Sam Grant's first attempt to capture Vicksburg was thwarted by Confederate General Earl Van Dorn, Julia was staying at a mansion in Holly Springs. Van Dorn raided the town, and Julia escaped without her clothes or carriage, which was all handed over to be torched by the Confederate Army. Legend has it, Van Dorn considering capturing Julie, as opposed to Julia. You see, capturing the general's wife would be one thing, but to capture the general's wife's slave would be a great PR move for the Confederacy. Considering President Lincoln was preparing to deliver his Emancipation Proclamation speech. Speaking of Lincoln, he finally got the commander he was looking for that could take back Richmond and promoted Sam to take command of the entire Union Army. And when Confederate General Robert E. Lee surrendered to him at the Appomattox Courthouse, Grant became a national hero. His plain-looking cross-eyed wife was just as popular. The gifts came in from seemingly everywhere. Cigars and flowers by the wagon load, silver, jeweled swords, gold trays, and invitations from the elite members of society who couldn't wait to meet the great war hero and his wife. After President Lincoln was assassinated, First Lady Mary Todd was on her own, dealing with her own personal disorders that made her very unpopular with everyone close to and far away from her. President Andrew Johnson wasn't very popular either because, well, that's what happens when you get impeached. So by the time Sam ran for presidency, it was a landslide victory. Julia might well have been happier even than he. She loved the White House and was an excellent hostess as she planned only the finest parties for their guests. Julia was also a staunch feminist who didn't think that female jokes were funny and even gave Brigham Young a tongue-lashing about the Mormons' practice of polygamy. When Grant's scandal-ridden presidency ended in 1877, the couple would wind up losing everything after a bad investment deal left Sam Grant penniless. The houses, the gold trays, the silver, the jeweled swords would all wind up paying off former President Grant's debts. The Grants were flat broke, with nothing else to offer. Ulysses began writing down his memoirs from a cigar-smoked lifetime full of stories. Throat cancer would catch up to him, and in 1885, days after he finished personal memoirs, Ulysses Grant passed on. At least Julia would be financially secure, as Memoirs earned $300,000 in its first year. She wound up writing a memoir of her own, and on December 14, 1902, Julia Dent Grant died as well. The story kind of went on a lot longer than I thought it was going to take, but there's so many other stories about this couple. In many ways, it makes them one of the most romantic presidential couples ever. At least somewhere in the top 10 for sure. Which is probably one of the reasons Mark Twain called those days the Gilded Age. But one example might be in 1864, when she considered getting surgery to fix that unphotogenic and downright embarrassing lazy eye problem of hers. Sam didn't like the idea, and told her, quote, "Dear Julia, I don't want to have your eyes fooled with. They are all right as they are. They look just as they did the very first time I ever saw them. The same eyes I looked into when I fell in love with you, the same eyes who looked into mine and told me that my love was returned." Unquote. Good stuff. Happy anniversary, Ulysses and Julia. You got this. 1957, Pete Rademacher becomes the only boxer to go for a championship in his first professional fight. Yes, the original Rocky was born November 20th, 1928 in Washington State. And this 6'2" heavyweight had a 77-inch reach. He came down with a nasty fever when he was in military school, and to get over it, he used boxing. As an amateur, he won 72 bouts and lost 7, and snagged about a half a dozen awards. He remained undefeated, fighting in all 3 of his bouts in the Olympics. And he knew that he would be the first boxer to win his first professional bout, but Sure enough, on this night in 1957, Rademacher would lose his professional debut against Floyd Patterson by a knockout in the sixth round at Six Seattle Stadium. 2016, Chuck Helmke becomes the most tattooed senior citizen in the world. That would be a record that he shares with his wife, Charlotte Gutenberg, who happens to be the world's most tattooed female senior citizen. Charlotte was 69 when she got the props from Guinness Book of World Records, and 91% of her body is covered up. These days, it's probably more like 98%. Hubby Chuck got his first tattoo in 1959. Charlotte got her first at the age of 50, a butterfly on her chest. When she first met Chuck, he offered to hold her hand during a tattoo session. Isn't that sweet? Love and ink at first sight. So that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for August 22nd on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. So what did you think of the show? Or better yet, what did you think of the content on the website that I didn't talk about today? Such as boating fans. Does anybody know who came in second in that race? Does anybody care? What did you think about the Camden 28 raid? David Bowie fans, and I'm one of his biggest ones. God rest your soul, David. Made some great music. Thank you. I thought his last album before he died was just amazing. So yeah, let me know what you think. You can also check out some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on there. So good luck with that. Be sure to check out tomorrow's episode. Soviet ballet dancer Good Enough defects to America. Harry Weed challenges Harry Houdini to escape out of Weed's tire chain. I'll talk about the Republic of Franklin.
Sesame Street, and some Major League Baseball with the Yankees.
So don't miss that. In the meantime, I'm also on Facebook and Twitter. You can hit me up over there as well. So until tomorrow, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. See you then.